Listen and earn to the Profit Express with your host, Tim Healy. For over a decade, Tim has helped the Long Island business community create sales systems through sales system development, training, and coaching. Tim is also the president and owner of Healy Success Solutions. Get ready as we create big-time profits for your business today. Now, here's your host, Tim Healy.
Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I'm Tim Healy. And you're invited to join me each and every week as we tackle the hottest topics, stories, and trends facing you. That's right, you, today's entrepreneur and small business owner. We do it right here on the Profit Express on 88.7 FM WRHU. So thank you for being on board. Thank you for listening today. And while you're in the land of social media, if you're on Facebook, you can go to the Profit Express page, give us a like, a thumbs up. Let me know what you thought about today's show. And share some ideas. You know, we'll be some guests you'd love to have on the show and work at getting them on for you. And if Twitter's your thing, you can follow me in the show at Radio Tim Healy for the latest updates on the show. And again, that's at Radio Tim Healy. Now, today's bottom line benefit, which goes on at 6:45, you can hear our resident financial expert, Phil Capel of Piermont Wealth Management, as he shares with you the latest financial news and market updates. And he's got a good story about the importance of estate planning and how it had a huge impact on the late pop star Prince. So that's going to be a very interesting story. So don't go anywhere for that. So thanks for spending some time with us today. Thank you for listening. Now, if you are one of the nearly 11 million Americans working for a nonprofit, or you're deeply committed to a cause, one that's near and dear to your heart, then you're going to want to stay tuned, because today I'm talking about the world of the nonprofit and what does it take to create success so they can continue to fulfill their mission, a mission that could be very near and dear to your heart. Now, on Long Island alone, there are thousands, I think the number is around 5,000 to 6,000 nonprofit organizations. So whether it's a school, a church, a hospital, a social cause, a medical cause, a political cause, each and every one of them need and are looking for your support in order to survive. And that support can come in the form of course, donations and money. It can come in the form of gifts, time, and or sweat equity. Now, without the direct or indirect support of their respective donor communities, aka customers, that's what we call them here on the Profit Express, they cease to exist and the cause that you love stops being supported. So at the end of the day, even though the nonprofit doesn't sound like or even look like a business, at least in my opinion, I really think they are. And if they aren't run like a business, in many ways, they could be out of business. So I thought, hey, it would make for a very interesting conversation, a very interesting show today to examine the business side of the nonprofit world. And to help me, I'm about to introduce you to one of the experts in the field, and she is Karen Suero, who's a strategic consultant for nonprofit organizations. And she's got over 15 years' experience here in New York as well as nationally, working for organizations like the Archdiocese of New York and Philadelphia, Pace University, and NYU Medical Center, to name a few. And Karen's got vast experience in development, fundraising, strategic planning, and board governance as well. So it's a pleasure to welcome aboard the Profit Express, Karen Suero. How are you today?
Hello, Tim. How are you? Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And, you know, when people think nonprofit, they don't think business. But here on the Profit Express, there really is a business side to it. And that's what we're here to address today. And that's what you do.
Every day.
Every day. Thank goodness there's people like you to help these non-for-profit people, you know what I'm saying? So again, thanks for spending some time with me today. I just mentioned a little while ago that on Long Island alone, I think the number is roughly 5,000 or 6,000 nonprofits that are out there. How competitive is it for a nonprofit to find support on Long Island in 2016?
Well, there's a lot of competition for mm-hmm. the philanthropic dollar. People are protective of their time and their money.
Mm-hmm.
So nonprofits on Long Island and around the country, they need both. They need people to support them financially, and they need people To give of volunteer hours, to give of their time.
So it's just not the straight up dollar, which is obviously crucial, but it's a lot of rolling up the sleeves, getting involved in the golf outings or the fundraisers, or even more directly, maybe in the cause itself, right? Have there been, now you've been in the business for 15 years, has the number increased, or has it been somewhat of a steady number of organizations that have been out there?
There's always an influx every year of 501c3s that are, you know, applying to the IRS to get that tax-exempt status. And they range from small service-based, your Rotary Clubs, Kiwanis, Chambers, all the way up to the, you know, the bigger nonprofits, hospitals and universities that are also looking for time and money, looking for both.
Exactly. Now, if a nonprofit is examining ways to improve as an organization, okay, so some of the reasons why they might come to you, what would be, where should they start as an organization? What should they begin to look at as ways to improve, you know, who they are regarding their mission?
Well, the first thing really to look at is your board of directors. That's your backbone of your organization. They're your they're setting your vision. They're setting the strategy. They're looking at the business side of the nonprofit, but they're also looking at how are we serving our mission and how are we on a day-to-day basis focusing on, you know, what the organization is here to do. But being a part of a board of directors, you know, that's a huge time investment, and that's really where a lot of nonprofits start. You have to start with having your governance and having your infrastructure in place.
And now you spend, as part of your practice, a good amount of your time, your expertise is in helping, and correct me if I'm getting this wrong, but helping organizations maybe choose to put together those board of directors. Mm-hmm. Now, how do they go about doing that? If you have a brand new organization, is there a certain process they go with identifying and tapping individuals? Who should they look for?
Well, there's a number of ways you could go about it. You could find, especially if you're a newer organization, you know, you could find some people locally right in the community that you know have a vested interest in the mission and what you're trying to do. You need a real diverse set of skills on a nonprofit board of directors. So you have to think about really rounding out that table nicely. You need an attorney, you need an accountant, you need someone in real estate, you need someone with a marketing background. You need a real smorgasbord of different talented people to sit on that board. But a lot of connections take place maybe with the executive director, who is, you know, the paid staff person.
Right.
And maybe as an organization's getting started or they're a little bit further down the line, you know, what relationships has that executive director built on the board and in the community, and who could sit around that table and think strategically?
So you're looking to get, like as you said, a smorgasbord. You want a whole different host of different talents that they can bring to the table to help out, make connections, obviously, because connections networking is critical in business, in nonprofit, as of course you're well aware. So what kind of an impact have, you know, not necessarily having to mention names, but if the board is not functioning well or properly, what kind of an impact can it have on an organization?
Well, one of the common mistakes that I see in a lot of nonprofit boards is they're stuck in the weeds. You know, they're stuck in the minutia. And when you have a board that's steering the ship and they're stuck in the day-to-day details, that's going to derail you from your vision and your strategic plan and accomplishing the big picture goals that the organization wants to accomplish.
So you're saying when there are boards who are too involved in the day-to-day, that's not a good thing?
No.
Okay, so that should be left obviously to the people who are working for
your staff.
Okay. Now, why does that end up happening that board members would get that involved?
You know, the reason it happens a lot of times is I think people agree to being on a board without knowing what really goes into it. They don't know what it entails.
Right.
And I think one of the things that a strong board would do is really set up roles and responsibilities. When you agree to be on a board, you should get a binder, a manual that outlines the dates of the meetings, the bylaws, the role, your role as a board member, and what you're there to do. And you're not there to pick linens for a charity event. You're not there to worry about the class.
Choosing the menu for the gala,
Or, you know, the different day-to-day details that go into running a business, quite frankly. You're there to look at the big picture, the strategy. Is our budget balanced? Do we have enough revenue coming in? Are we tapping into new streams of revenue?
Right.
Are we looking at other inroads we can make in our community as far as building relationships? Are we filling out this table around of board of people on our board? We have the right people.
Do you have enough representative talent? Right, right.
No, board should also have term limits. You know, you should know there's a beginning and an end to your service.
You don't want to get too stodgy.
You don't want to get stale. You don't want to get stodgy. You want to keep it fresh.
Folks, this is the Prophet Express right here on 88.7 FM WRHU. And you may very well be one of the 11 million Americans who works for non-for-profit. And or you could be a person who's deeply involved in a cause. It could be a political cause, a medical cause, a social cause, whatever it is. We're talking about nonprofits today, but we're looking at, of course, as the Prophet Express, we're looking at the business side of nonprofits and what nonprofit organizations need to do, must do, in order to survive and thrive, to keep that mission going. And to help me tackle the conversation, I have on an expert, and that's Karen Suero. So again, thanks for being a part of the show today.
Thank you, Tim.
Now, so certainly the board is critical. You got to get the right, you know, as you said, and I like that phrase, by the way, getting the right people sitting at the table, you know, in term limits, okay? But let's move on to the donors for a moment, because that's could be a real critical lifeline, if you will, whether it's alumni in an educational institution, whatever it may be. What does a nonprofit need to do to cultivate their current donors as well as, of course, looking to expand that donor pool, if you will?
Well, there's a couple things that they need to keep in mind. The first is donors, more than ever before, want to see transparency and they want to see where their dollars are going. Mm. So are you raising money for a new science lab? We want to see the plans. We want to see the future of what that science lab is going to look like. Are you raising money for scholarships? How many scholarships are you looking to give out of what size? I think donors need to be aware of the ins and outs, the mission of the nonprofit, and they need to be wooed and dated and courted and brought along on the journey. We certainly don't want to just send our donors a nice mailing at the holiday time.
Right, and check off the box next to the 500,000. So that's very interesting. Obviously, you know, in the world of social media, transparency is, you know, just very popular right now on the corporate level, of course, and it's transcendent, of course, to the nonprofit. Do you think that the typical nonprofit understands how important? Because, you know, you're looking for money, it's one thing, and they're excited about the cause. But it's so much easier, I would believe, to go that one step further and say, it's not just the cause, but it's the science lab. It's not just the university, but it's the science lab or a STEM project or whatever it may be. Are they embracing and understanding that level of transparency?
Well, the reality is everything is at our fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
Really, in the last few years, as a result of GuideStar and Charity Navigator, these are two sites that are devoted to nonprofit financials primarily. And you can look and see.
Wait, mention those two again.
It's GuideStar
mm-hmm.
and Charity Navigator. They're two websites.
And essentially, so what they do is, because that's an important point, their purpose is to allow donors or potential donors to see what with a particular nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. They could see the, you know, obviously the contact information, the address, but they can go back and see a history of the 990 reports for a nonprofit, which is a tax return mm-hmm. that all nonprofits do need to file mm-hmm. With certain parameters around that.
Right.
But you can take a look and see where donor dollars are going. You can see what an organization is spending their money on. Now, you can also do this with your close relationship with the organization and by asking those questions and you're getting involved in whatever capacity you want to get involved, but know that that's also all available online.
Now, is this something all nonprofits have to participate in, or is it like something that's voluntary as far as, you know, listing the 990, for example? Is that public knowledge?
990s are public knowledge. And, okay. You know, there are some parameters. You know, we're not here to talk about nonprofit accounting. But you do have to have a certain amount of revenue
right.
in order to have to complete a 990, which is, again, a tax return for nonprofit organizations.
Right.
But again, with Charity Navigator and GuideStar, that information is at the disposal of donors. And transparency is key.
If you talk about, because you and I have spoken about this in the past in previous conversations, you know, you have boomers who have been big historical contributors, okay, donors. Millennials are up and coming, okay, and they're the largest population, at least in the workforce, I believe. Mm-hmm. What are the differences in their how they approach donating and being a part of certain causes? What have you seen the difference between a millennial and a boomer?
Well, let's be really honest here, Tim.
Please do. It's a Profit Express.
our boomers are tech savvy now. You know, they're on the computer. They're on the internet. So right. A lot of them...
They're on the line, right?
They are also looking at some of those financial reports. And, right. And they're looking into, you know, where is their money going?
So they're not just so easy to write the check.
Exactly. And that was very much the case many, many years ago.
Right.
But now... The transparency is definitely part of the conversation. They want to know, I'm writing this check, and I want to know a little bit more about where it is going. As far as the millennials are concerned, you know, this is a very interesting topic. There's a lot of articles on millennials in the workplace, millennials in giving, millennials in volunteering.
Absolutely.
But let's be very clear. The millennials, they have a very philanthropic side to them. About 3/4 of all millennials are doing something in a philanthropic sense, whether it's time or money that they're giving. But they want to be approached by social media. They want to be able to text and give. They want mobile giving. They want to see their nonprofit of choice on Facebook and Twitter. They want to be invited to events on
social media. So they can do a text give. They're not going to do the old credit card situation.
Exactly.
Or certainly not write a check.
Yeah.
Wow.
And if you go to any big charity event,
right.
You have one person stand up with their cell phone in their hand and say, if you just text this number right now, $10 will go to eradicating polio, for example,
something the Rotarians
are very passionate about. You'll see everyone in the room, millennials.
Oh, I love that. From the sales perspective, think about the right away, the urgency, boom, everybody pulls out the phone.
But a lot of our studies are showing that's what the millennials want. They want that urgency, Tim. They want it now, and they want to be able to give now, knowing where it's going, but it's quick.
Wow. So the nonprofit, think about this. The nonprofit, they're not just looking to court boomers. They're not just looking to court millennials. You know, you want to get as many of different groups as possible. So there's going to be multiple strategies within, you know, the donor acquisition strategy, mm-hmm. right? Am I getting that right? I mean, that's what you're kind of describing here.
Oh, yes. Yeah. There's a lot of different ways that you're going to be cultivating your donors. And keeping in mind that, you know, development really is seeing the mission through your donor's eyes, seeing what's emotionally charged for the donor by way of your mission.
Say that again. I like that.
So
that's powerful because, you know, they often think about a group will think about, hey, you know, we're raising money for such project. But it's like, you know, we have an expression in sales, sell from the other side of the table, understand your prospect's perspective. Same thing.
But Tim, if you want to talk about sales, development people are in sales. But true development people are selling. And we want donors. Development people want donors to be engaged, of
right.
course.
Sure.
But we want to see the mission through their eyes. What's emotionally connecting them to the scholarship fund, the grateful patient at the hospital, whatever the case may
sure, yeah.
special needs, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be, we want to see the donor's connection.
How they see the cause, you know. Okay, I like that. That's good. Now, all right, so we're talking about the people in development, which is, you know, part of what you do. Certainly, you know, your experience goes beyond that. But within the world of development and nonprofits, do you think they see, because I see it as sales, but do they see that as a dirty word?
Well, let's think about this, though. Our conversation started talking about the business side of nonprofits.
Right.
We have to debunk all those myths right here.
We're going to debunk the myths here on the Profit Express.
Yeah.
I love it.
And
let's
if you have me back, we could do it again.
Absolutely.
We're just skimming the surface.
Yeah, we can't do it all in one show.
Exactly. There's a lot to cover here. But the reality is, without sounding cold, you said in the beginning, Tim, if the nonprofits in our country, in New York State, on Long Island, if mm-hmm. they don't think strategically, if they don't think like a business, they're not going to be able to survive. And they're not going to be able to serve their population, their mission, their right. cause, whatever they're trying to do.
Right.
So let's take out, you know, the dirty words and let's just make it about being business savvy,
right.
about being financially responsible, having a marketing platform,
mm-hmm.
reaching
mm-hmm.
out to all different demographics. And yes, we're selling of course, development people are selling the mission of whatever is important to that organization at that time.
I would just think, because I've been a part of, you know, I've done fundraising. I've been on committees. We've done the golf outings, of course. I'm involved with my son's school. And I guess just sometimes, you know, whether it's other parents or whether it's board members or people who are on committees, whatever it is, you know, they almost think it's beneath them sometimes, and that people should just understand, oh, it's a great cause. It's a great cause. Donate. But no, it doesn't work that way. And that's why it goes back to what you said. And it could be one of the most important things you said, seeing it through the donor's eyes. Because that's what kind of brings a full circle and captures that emotional connection.
You know, you mentioned some very important points, Tim, about, you know, parents raising money for their school, the camps, and the golf outings, and all of those things are so important.
Yeah.
But the fundraising events, they're transactional.
Yeah.
You know, there's money being raised, but development, the true art of development, is emotional. It's cultivation. It's relationship building. And those are all things that are in the business world.
Right. 100%.
And they're in the nonprofit world, too.
100%. You're just selling a different product. Let's just call it what it is. This is the Profit Express right here on 88.7 FM WRHU. We're talking about the business side of the nonprofit. And while most nonprofits don't look like the typical business, at the end of the day, they really should be running themselves as one. And to help me tackle this, I'm having Karen Swearer on today. She's been the guest. She will continue to be the guest. Do you have time to stick around?
I'll be here.
All right, don't go anywhere. This is the Profit Express. Up next, we're going to talk to Karen about nonprofits that are getting it right and those that aren't. So don't go anywhere. It's the Profit Express on 88.7 FM WRHU.